around the world, yeah.
What's your favorite country to visit, or can you really narrow it down? I always wonder how difficult it is for the folks who have been all over the place to narrow such a thing down.
Well, if you ask me what would be my favorite place, it would probably be Alaska. I mean, I used to live there. I've made two films there. And with foreign countries, the one that really created a big impression with me excuse me, was a little country in the Himalayas. And it's called Bhutan.
Uh-huh.
I made a film there, and it's about as exotic, Bruce, as you're going to get. In fact, it's as close to Shangri-La as you'll ever get.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is it? Yep. Are these places? I mean, you're going there to work. Do you ever? What do you do when you're on vacation? I've always wondered what people who who travel to work. What do they do on vacation? Just sit at home?
Well, I like to go fishing. That's one thing I like to do.
Well, there you go.
But, oh, I'd like to go up to Ontario and do fly-ins and go out to Northern Pike and walleye, things like that. But to be honest, most of the places I've been for photography and making films were just like a vacation. I did take a little vacation this summer. I went to Ireland for the first time.
Oh, really?
And and did a kind of a walking, hiking tour of parts of Ireland.
That must have been a lot of fun.
It was. It is. It's a delightful little country. It really is. One thing you discovered in Ireland is that there's no soil. You see a lot of green, but it's only about 2 inches deep.
Yeah, I was there last winter, and I didn't get out in the countryside. I was stayed in Dublin for the most part. There's no soil?
There's no soil, yeah. You don't see any crops. All you see are grazing animals. I mean, you see cattle, you see horses, goats, sheep, but you don't see crops because there's no soil. You go down 2 inches or less, and you hit solid rock. And that's Ireland, everywhere I went.
I guess that's why the potato, that's why they grow potatoes, because you don't have to go very deep for them, huh?
apparently. But I was just struck by the fact that they're just everywhere you go, it's solid rock.
We know that's entirely different. It's entirely different in Scotland, isn't it? Because there they basically, I don't know if you saw any of it, don't they harvest the soil there to use for burning and that kind of thing?
Yes, they do. It's called peat.
Uh-huh.
And they cut into it. It builds up. And they cut into it and make bricks out of it. They dry it out. And they burn it in the kilns where they make whiskey. And some people use it to heat their homes as well. I always tell people that if you really like the smell of burning peat, it is a very pleasant odor. You go into a home that's heated with peat, and boy, just it feels like home. It's really a nice smell. It really is. And a lot of people use peat to heat their homes over there. Yeah.
That's really fascinating. I guess it's the same concept as walking out and cutting down a tree, but it's just kind of different.
It is.
peat.
It's vegetation in an earlier state. It's just begun to break down, and yeah, it burns beautifully. And of course, they use it in the kilns where they make whiskey, and it lends its odor, its color, to the whiskey itself. And
oh,
that's why
really?
They talk about that burnt taste, depending on where the whiskey comes from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the one place that's most famous for it is Islay, the Isle of Islay, and half a dozen distilleries there. And they're famous. In fact, people who are whiskey connoisseurs have been known to get off the plane there and literally kiss the ground when they got off the plane, because that's where the world's best whiskey comes from. Yeah.
Well, you see, now I presume some of that is in the film that you're showing tonight, as well as I guess this is kind of a sequel to a film you've had before, The Highlands of Scotland, right?
Yes, it is. I made a film in the mid-90s called The Highlands of Scotland, and frequently people would come up to me before the show. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. they come up to me before the show, and they'd say to me, Tom, are we going to go to Skye tonight? Because that's the one big island that a lot of folks go to now because there's a bridge to it.
It used to
be a ferry, but now it's a bridge. And I usually say, no, this is a film about the Highlands, not the islands. But I got that question so much that I told my wife, I think we should go back and do a sequel on the islands around mainland Scotland. And so we did. And we did the Isle of Arran and the Inner Hebrides, Outer Hebrides, Orkney, Shetland, etc. And there's about 750 islands around mainland Scotland. And of that 750, there's about 130 that are inhabited by humans. And you can go to many of them on these little ferries. And so that's what we did. We just island hopped from one island to another and just had a great time staying at bed and breakfast. I always tell people, when you go to Scotland, mainland or the islands, anywhere, do not bother making reservations. You don't need it. I've spent 3 summers in Scotland, and I've never made a reservation.
No kidding. Wow.
There are bed and breakfasts everywhere. I mean, just literally everywhere. Sometimes you drive in these little towns, and you look down the street, and virtually every house will have that little B&B sign in front of it. So you just pick one that looks good and go up and knock or ring the bell or whatever. And your hostess, usually it's a woman. I've stayed in a couple that were run by men, but usually it's a woman. She'll come to the door and you'll ask her if she has a room available. And normally they have one or two rooms that they're renting out. But on rare occasion, I think it's happened to me twice. I asked if they had a room available and she said no, but then she just reached out and gently took my arm and said, just stay right there for a second, or she ushered me inside.
Kick somebody out of the house?
She gets on the phone.
Did she kick somebody
out?
No.
No. She gets on the phone, and she calls Mary and Ann and Betty and Sue, and she knows all the bed and breakfast.
Sure.
And then she comes back to you, and she said, now look, get back in your car and go down here to the corner, make a right turn, go one block, turn left, and Mary's waiting for you.
That's about as hospitable. That's about as hospitable as it can be, isn't it?
That's what they do. Twice that happened to me, and they just wouldn't let me go until they made sure I had a room for the night.
Well, that's wonderful.
There's bed and breakfast everywhere, and the hardest part about bed and breakfast is leaving them. That's the hardest part. Especially if you did like my wife and I did, because we'd go to a certain island, and I'd try to find a bed and breakfast, which was kind of central.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd stay there for a week. Well, by the end of the week, you're fast friends with whoever that owns that place, and it's hard to leave. You're friends already, and will we ever see you again? Well, probably not. Oh, gosh. Well, put me on your Christmas list, so...
Well, that sounds like your job is a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a vacation, and while you're working, but meeting a lot of delightful people, terrific people, and the other nice thing about bed and breakfast is, of course, that these people know the surrounding area much better than you do.
Yeah.
So while you're there, they'll put you on the thing. They'll say, "Oh, you got to go here and photograph this or photograph that," or he's usually at this certain spot if you want to photograph this guy and. Yeah, they're just a wealth of information.
What's the most surprising thing? I mean, you'll do a little research, I presume, some research before you go to these on your travels here. What's the most surprising thing that you've run into either on making this film or on making some of the other films that you've made over the years, Tom? I'm talking to Tom Sterling. He's presenting at Rotary at the Rotary Travelogue tonight here in Fairfield at 7:15. At the First Baptist Church. What is maybe one of the most surprising things that you did not find in your research, but when you got there, you were like suggested to go to something, and it was just a surprising, intriguing thing. What was that?
Well, if I sat here long enough, I'd probably think of several things, but the one thing comes immediately to mind is not a place or a thing, really. It's in line with these bed and breakfasts. I mentioned a second ago that I've stayed in a couple that were run by men.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was staying at this one, and I really liked his breakfast. And I'm a huge fan of porridge.
Okay.
I grew up calling it oatmeal, but
yeah, sure.
Over there they call it porridge.
Okay.
And his and they all have it. Every place you stay, without exception, they'll
okay.
have porridge, okay?
Okay.
Available. And his, they're all good, but yours is exceptional. I said, would you mind telling me what your recipe is? He said, no, sure. So he tells me what it is. Well, it's pretty, you know, the usual stuff. Then he gets to the end and he says, then I add honey and a pot of whiskey.
Really?
I said, really? I would never have guessed. I don't taste out. No, no. He says, you just let it simmer and bubble, et cetera, and the whiskey pretty much burns off, and it leaves this really good ice. You're right, it does. So ever since then, I've always put in I'm a teetotaler,
uh-huh.
but I put in a pot of whiskey when I make my porridge.
That is
fantastic.
That is fascinating. I really hadn't thought about that, but it does make sense that it would that it would burn off, and it's going to give
yep.
you it's going to give you a really good flavor to it.
Yep, it does. Yep. A little bit of honey. I put in a little bit of honey and a pot of whiskey.
Well, at least an interesting, give it an interesting wing anyway. That's pretty great. That's
yep.
really cool. Tell me about, tell me what folks are going to see on the Isles tonight of Scotland. I see here that all kinds of, Shetland ponies. You're going to show us Shetland ponies tonight, right?
Oh, you can't go to Shetland and not see Shetland ponies. You have to. There are 9 stud farms in Shetland. And so I went to the Gott Stud Farm, which is the biggest one. And looked at the Shetland ponies and learned a lot of interesting history and stories about them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, so I included all that in the show. And oh my gosh, the one thing that I really look forward to, because in my first film on the Highlands, I often ran into these ruins.
Yeah,
they're called Brocs. That's B-R-O-C-H, Broc. That's actually a Viking word meaning fort.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what the original builders called them, but there were about 500 of them at one time in northern Scotland. They're hourglass-shaped towers.
Really?
That's set on the landscape, and they just have one small low entrance, which you have to really bend over to get into. And people use them as fortifications against invading, mostly Vikings. And today there's only one left.
Oh, really?
The rest of them have all been torn down. And, of course, the stones have been used for fences and homes and all kinds of things. But there's one that's still intact, and it's on the Isle of Moussa in Shetland. And I had filmed several of the ones that have been torn down, and I said, I'd love to see one of these. Well, there's one left. And it's at the end of the show, and it's one of the grand finale things I put in the film on the Isle of the Moussa Brock, they call it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's a... It is. It's an incredible piece of architecture, and it was built, you know, back 1,400 years ago. And they don't have any windows. They're shaped like an hourglass with the waist near the top. And whenever they would see invaders coming, mostly Vikings who raided those islands a lot, they would rush to get their cattle and their goats and sheep inside the brock. And they didn't have doors in those days. So what they would do is they would place 2 men with broadswords in just inside that opening at the bottom. And if you were foolish to come through there on your hands and knees, you got your head cut off.
Oh, my goodness.
So they knew that. The Vikings knew that. So they wouldn't go in. They wouldn't try to get in there. So they would just pillage the people's homes, take whatever they wanted, you know, et cetera, and then go on their way. And the folks would come back out and restart their lives. But yeah, one time there were about 500 of those around northern Scotland and the islands, and today there's only one left.
How big around is it? I mean, if they're getting cattle in there and all kinds of things?
I'd say the diameter at the base is probably around 60 to 80 feet.
Oh, that's
across.
Pretty good size.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're double walled. And there's a stairway made out of stone, inside the double wall, so you can get all the way up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually were 3 stories, but you could go up to the top, and up there you could throw hot oil and rocks and all kinds of crap down on those invaders trying to get in the door. So
well, that's what you would do.
They, Yeah, that's what they would do. They'd just stay in there until the Vikings left, and then they come out and resume their lives. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Tom Sterling about the Misty Isles of Scotland, and I'm going to ask you one last question. How much time do you put in whenever you start on a film and finish a film? About what is the time frame involved in that, Tom? It just sounds like the amount of time you spend at these places looking for good things to film. This is kind of a labor of love as well as fun, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Generally speaking, you'll spend one season shooting and a second year editing and putting the show together. So it's a 2-year project.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, we really look forward to you guys coming over all the time whenever you do. And where have you presented recently? This is part of a circuit that you're on, isn't it, Tom?
Yep. Yeah, I did a show last night in Lima, Ohio.
So you travel all over the place. You basically spend a year putting the film together, a year showing it maybe, or some of the year showing it, and then you'll do it again over and over and over.
Yep, that's the idea.
Well, that's a lot. Tom, I really appreciate your time this morning. Sounds like it's going to be an outstanding show.
Thank you. Should be a lot of fun.
That sounds like it. Hey, Tom, thanks very much. That's Tom Sterling. He's presenting Misty Isles of Scotland tonight. That's the Fairfield Travelogue series. It's going to be at the First Baptist Church here at 308 South 1st Street in Fairfield. Presentation begins at 7:15. Tickets are available at McDowell Kinchelow and Jessup and Wayne, and also the Wayne County Farm Bureau office. Have a great one, Tom. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bruce.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
That's the travelogue tonight. Back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.